Thank you again to our amazing praise and worship team. It's amazing to worship the Lord with you, and thanks Rachel and Lene joining us this morning again as well. You should be here every Sunday. Voices like yours should be singing every Sunday with us. Thank you for doing that. We're so blessed. Scott, I think, prayed this morning as we were praying, and he said, thank you for this team that is just so faithful. Over the summer, we've never had a Sunday where we were kind of biting our nails so far and saying, do we have people to be here? The folks are just here. Thank you for doing that. It's wonderful as you lead us in worship. It's a big job, and thank you, Bradley, for being our worship leader and putting all of this together. It doesn't just happen. There's a lot of work that goes in. It's not just one guy sitting at an organ and playing. It's 12 people being part of what happens up here, and we thank God for that. So you're going to start thinking this is my baptism scripture, because two Sundays ago, when it was Aiden's baptism, we read Luke chapter 15, and we're going there again today, Luke chapter 15. But I'm going to add a few verses just to show you that I can read the others as well, and I'm not going to repeat the sermon, so be okay with that. So before we read, let me give you a little background, because it's an interesting piece. It starts a little earlier. It starts in chapter 14, when Jesus is invited to go eat at the house of this prominent Pharisee. And he watches them as they go in, and they all come in, and they kind of take the front row seats. And then he says to them, guys, you should be careful to do that, you know. The host might wanted to put someone else in that seat, and it was reserved for them, and he's going to come up to you and say, excuse me, this seat is reserved, it's not for you, and you'll have to get up and go sit in the back, and that's not going to be fun for you. So don't always want to sit in the front seats. They might be reserved for someone else. Of course, they don't get it. So they say, oh yeah, yeah, but it's going to be wonderful one day to sit at the feast of God in the kingdom of heaven, because they thought, Pharisees as they were, they're going to have the front seats. And they're going to sit there, and all the others will have to look on because God chose them. And then Jesus tells them a little story to try and explain to them, you've got it wrong. He says there was a man who had this banquet, and then he invited people, and then they didn't come. And then he sent his people out to go into the streets and the alleys, the dark places, and to go find all those that are lost and who are struggling and who are not part of your little group. And he gave this banquet for them. For the kingdom of heaven is like that, he says. And then he tells them about the cost of discipleship. We think it ends, but it doesn't. It goes on in the story that we read this morning. So I'm going to read chapter 15, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 13, and then verse 17, and then verse 20, and 21 to 24. So it might be easier to follow on the screen, but I'll help those who are not going to read on the screen. So verse 1 to 13. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. And there's the but. Remember the biblical but. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So now you know where this comes from. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And now you know what happens. Then he messes it up, ends in a pigsty, and he longs to fill his stomach with the pods. And then verse 17 says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. And then verse 20, just the beginning, says, so he got up and he went to his father. Verse 21, father said to him, the son said to him, father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. Was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. It's a story with three acts when you look at it carefully. And when you look at this story, maybe it starts with a question that says, how does it happen that we get lost? And just look at the line that runs through the story, because it starts out wide and then it comes all more narrow. It starts with 100 sheep, and out of 100, one gets lost. Then it narrows it down to 10 coins, and one gets lost. Narrows it down even more to two boys. Actually, both are lost. The one sheep gets lost in this huge open field where it's easy to get lost. Busy with the others can get lost very easily. The one coin gets lost in the confines of a house, way smaller again. The boys get lost even within the boundaries of a loving father heart. It's so easy. It is so easy to get lost. The problem with the lost thing, I wonder if you saw that. The one thing that all of them, even the boys, have in common is that none of them can do anything about their being lost. They can't find themselves. Remember the sheep? Remember when I did the series for you on the shepherd, the Psalm 23, and I taught you about the sheep? Remember I told you about sheep? When a sheep gets lost, where's Alistair McElraith? He'll know this. Sheep gets lost. It doesn't walk around saying, ba, 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 where are the other sheep? What does it do? It lies down. And it stays there. It doesn't look for water. It doesn't look for anything else. It just stays there. And it will die right there when it's lost. Animals will come and eat it. Can't save itself. What can a silly little coin do when it falls from your pocket and you don't see it? And it runs and it's right, oops, I nearly put that thing over. And it runs right under this organ. And it's lying under the organ in the darkness and it only gathers dust. Can it save itself? It can't save itself. It can only be saved in the day we take this organ back and we find the coin. And you'll say, but the boy's okay. No, he's not. He can't save himself. Did you hear those words? Dad, make me like one of your servants because I'm lost. The only reason the boy can say that, the only reason this boy has this need, is because somewhere in the heart of this boy, he remembers that moment that he was in the heart of a father. And there was a father who said, I love you and I care for you. And he got lost in that love and that care and decided to turn his back on that love and that kindness and that care. And that's what caused the loss. But somewhere he knows there's someone who will find me. And the boy puts himself out there with a prayer. I hope you'll even just make me like a slave and find me. That's what it means to be lost, my friends. To be far from your shepherd that knows your name and cares for you. To be lost from the hand of your Lord, your owner that has you. To be longing for the heart of a father who cares for you. And then the lost walk, and they so easily will cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Actually, it's us who have forsaken God. When we get lost, it's not God who loses us. we lose God. And we walk around blindly in the darkness like that coin lying under that organ, dark and blind and lost and can't be found. And there are so many stories of the lost. You know, when I was preparing this, it took me way back. Some of these South African friends will remember this. In South Africa, there's a place called Heilbron. Heilbron was the most wonderful cosmopolitan part of Johannesburg area. Wonderful place. But something went wrong in Heilbron. Today, it's one of the most deadliest places in the whole world, run by Nigerian gangs. But even in that time, you would see Heilbron, lights and laughter and all kinds of stuff. And then the drugs started coming and the abuse started coming and prostitution was rampant and all kinds of stuff came in. And people said, this is the life because we can be free in Heilbron. It's this place where all is fine and all is good. But there was a mission society that ran in the middle of Heilbron. And as students, we would always go work with them. And we would go do prayer walks, and many of us don't even know what that is, where we would just come together and pray in the church and then go out and go pray for the people in the streets. The saddest part was to see the lost people on that street. They had everything and they had nothing. Their lives were empty. We found little boys and little girls who slept under cardboard boxes. Those were their homes because mom and dad are completely lost. Mom and dad have given themselves over to drugs and to prostitution, and they have nowhere to go. They sleep under the bright lights. They would look for a supermarket that was open 24/7, and they would sleep outside those doors because they felt a little safer there. You know what they would ask you for? They'd say, please, sir, give me money. I want to go and buy glue. Know what they did with the glue? They sniffed the glue so they could forget about the hurt and the being lost and the being alone. And there was no one who could take care of them and they were lost. That's how it feels to be lost when you're a little dude, 10 years old, sleeping under a cardboard box, just praying for someone to give you a little glue so you can forget. But God doesn't forget. And it doesn't end with the story of the lost. There's a second line, found. And it's even more profound than that first one. Because did you see the relentless seeking of the Father? And all three of these are all about, you know it, I don't have to say it. You've been in church long enough. It's all about God and God seeking us. This relentless God who seeks and never gives up. Just think for a second what Jesus is doing here. He makes it so absurd. Who's going to leave 99 sheep and go look for one? He's going to come back and maybe 70 of the 90 are gone. But the shepherd says, the one is so important, I will leave the 99, showing the absurdity, but also the relentlessness of our God. When he looks at us, he says, you're lost, I'm going to find you. I'm not just going to give up on you and say, well, that sheep's going to lie and it's going to die and it's fine. No, it's not fine. One little coin out of 10. And she searches and she searches and she grabs her broom until she finds it. And then she does this crazy thing. She calls her friends together and says, come have a party with me. I found my little coin. Joan, imagine your friends call you and say, hey, we have a Tupperware party. I find my 10 cents. This little coin was a little more than that. Because it seems if we look at the background of the text, this might have been her dowry. Dowry was not just that which she got for her wedding. It was hers to keep, that if something happened to her husband, she would have something to live off. Because remember, a widow in those days had nowhere to go. She couldn't go work like you ladies. There was no one who would take care of her. If she didn't have a husband, she had to fend for herself. This was huge. This was her identity. This was her life. And she loses a little bit of that. And it kind of says something about God. When one of his little ones, gets lost, God says, it's mine. It's my identity. I need this. I can't live without this. I need to find it. And I'll move heaven and earth to find my little lost coin, my little boy, my little girl. The story of the Father, I don't have to tell you because I told you 2 weeks ago. Let me just touch it again. It's unthinkable for those who weren't here, for a grown-up man in the East to lift up his robes and show his legs and run. It's not dignified. They would never do that. They don't run. His Father, when he sees the Son who is lost and who seeks, this Father runs. Remember what I said? And he kissed him. What a touch from the Father. That's how God seeks for the lost. Because isn't that what the Lord Jesus says? Luke 19:10. Anyone know what it says? You can go have a coffee up there if you know what it says. Luke 19:10, you need to remember this forever because it's our verse. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. It's our text. We can't forget that. Jesus came to look for you because, can I tell you something? You were lost, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not. It's the truth. All of us were lost. We were like that coin and that sheep and that boy, and we couldn't do a thing for ourselves. But through God's grace, the shepherd Son of God came, and he came to seek and to save, not just to find, but find and then change your life completely. Completely, so that you will never be the lost again, but the changed who have been found, who are precious in God's eyes. That's what he does. That's why I told you the little background in chapter 14. Go read verse 21 in chapter 14 and you'll see it. He said, go into the alleys and the back streets and the dark places and go find those who are there and bring them and make them part of my banquet. That's where God goes and looks for us. He's not just in this church today, my friends. He's out in the alleys and the darkest places in the forest that you and I will turn our noses up. And God says, go find them. Because maybe they're seeking for more than they have, and you have it, and they can have it. Bring them. And I should say amen, but I can't. Because there's a third, more important than the other two even, I think. Line that we find throughout this. Verse 6, verse 9, verse 23. When the shepherd goes and he finds his sheep, what does he say? Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep. And there's a slide for this one. When this woman finds her coin, she calls her friends and she says, rejoice with me, for I have found my coin. When the father finds his son, he says, let's celebrate and have a feast, for this son of mine was lost, and he is found. This daughter of mine was lost, and she is found. This child of mine was lost, and is found, was dead, and is alive. Let's celebrate. God rejoices. But you can just read this verse after that, verse 7, verse 11. For I tell you, said the Lord Jesus, there is rejoicing in heaven by all of the angels for each soul that is found and is saved. That's God's joy in this world. He rejoices every time one of the lost coins is found under the organ. One of the lost sheep is found where it gave up under the bush. One of the lost children that is lying in the old pigsty gets up and comes to his and her senses and says, I'm going to go back to my dad. Because he's a good, good father. And I am loved by him. And you know what happens? The last story is the joy story. He breaks the chains. Because when I am lost, I am bound by the chains. Go read the stories. I actually did a little research and read stories of people who were lost and found. And you know what happens to all of them? They get lost in this world and the stuff of the world. And they all say, I was so bound by all of this stuff, I couldn't be found. It's the day that God broke all of those chains and I had nothing left. And then God found me and I wanted to be found. And he breaks the chains and he sets me free. We're going to listen to a song in a moment, and you guys can come up, which also speaks of this, when it says, and when you found me, you put new blood in my heart and in my veins. You put your blood in my veins. Your blood, Lord, runs through my veins. And you made me part of a new family. You made me part of your family. And here's the thing. Just take this little family that's gathered here together this morning. You don't even all know each other. And please, when you leave this morning, say hi to someone that you don't know. They might be new, just like you. You become part of God's family. You know what happens? When you need, they pray for you. When you're lost, they're going to go look for you. And they're going to find you. And they're not going to say, ah, you're lost. They're going to say, come walk with me, sister. Brother, because the same blood that runs through your veins runs through mine, the blood of Jesus, my Lord. For here's the thing about God. Look at this beautiful text from Zephaniah. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. And he will take great delight in you. See there again? The Lord rejoices in you. And he will quiet you, that seeking heart, with his love. And look at this again. He will rejoice over you with singing. What a beautiful, beautiful promise. The seeking God rejoices over you, over me. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and this is part of when this God of ours works in our lives. Thanks, Alexander. We're part of this wonderful family. Someone asked me, pray for the family of Warren Appleby, who died in an industrial accident. He has two children and a wife. See, that's being part of this family. Of those who know that they were lost and found, we can pray for our brothers and sisters. Prayers for the family of Merle Belfort. Merle was a member in this church who passed last Sunday. Her funeral was on August 27. Thank you for continued prayers for Debbie. Your thoughtfulness is uplifting, and she's most grateful to the congregation of Central. See? Myla McCarty is 7 years old tomorrow. Is that your little grandchild, Scotty? Congratulations, Opa. And a prayer of thanksgiving for our granddaughter, Avery Grace Yacht, who's been baptized today. All of us found by the grace of God who set us free. So we just close your eyes and allow this song, a beautiful song, just to speak to your hearts.
You unravel me with a melody, you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Child of God, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. Excuse me.